Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello there, everyone. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to another episode of the Brouhaha. Since we last met, the Beastie Boys, or I should say the likenesses of the Beastie Boys, have filmed a brand new music video. That's right, action figures will be used in this video, directed by Spike Jones. And I believe the last time the Beastie Boys worked with Spike Jones was on the Sure Shot video, because he did Sabotage, then he did Sure Shot. And I wonder what Evan Bernard thinks of this music video, because to date, Evan Bernard has directed the greatest music video ever using action figures for Bad Religion's New America. So Evan, if you ever want to come on the Brouhaha, talk about action figures or music videos, email me over at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. The moral of today's podcast, well, there are actually two morals. The first moral is, ask and ye shall receive. At the beginning of 2011, the first episode of the Brouhaha for 2011, we talked about Timex Social Club, and I explained how I knew little about the band, but I was curious about the band because they were the Beastie Boys' tour mates on the Raising Hell tour. 7 months ago, I knew nothing about Timex Social Club. That has all changed. There is a revamped website. There's a brand new book. And today on the Brouhaha, I chat with founding member of Timex Social Club, Marcus Thompson. And then the second moral of this episode is if you mess up, you should still roll with it. So, as an example, listen to this.
Hold on, Mike, take that back. I gotta say a little something that's long overdue. This disrespect to women has got to be through. So all the mothers and the sisters and the wives and friends, come on, all my love and respect.
That's the Beastie Boys in their Welcome Back to the USA show in 2004, promoting their soon-to-be-released album, To the Five Boroughs, the Beastie Boys. They messed up, but they still rolled with it. And if the Beastie Boys can mess up and still roll with it, then why can't a low-budget, homemade Beastie Boys podcast mess up and roll with it? And that's what we did today. I'll just give you a quick explanation. Got a new iPhone. Did not know if you have a stereo line running out of your iPhone, it records not only your voice, but the other person's voice. I don't want to hear my voice. And I took it to the Verizon store, and people were like, I didn't know it could do that. So in this interview that you're about to hear, my voice almost sounds like it's coming through a walkie-talkie. And that's because I had my silky smooth mic running, and then my audio was also going through my iPhone. So please, bear with me. And I tried to split the difference. I kind of moved the iPhone away from my face so there was less reverb, and I still needed it close enough to my mouth so Marcus could hear me. And here's where I messed up. Usually I have two recordings going at once. Because the iPhone threw me for a loop, I only had one recording going. The recorder wasn't plugged in. It was going on battery power, and the batteries died 10 minutes into the interview. So the first 10 minutes of this interview, gone forever. Or, as Doc Emmett Brown would say,
erased from existence.
Yeah. So we got some good news and we got some bad news. Bad news is you will never, ever hear the first 10 minutes of this interview again. Just erased from existence. Good news, Marcus Thompson just wrote a book about the history of Timex Social Club, and I believe the official title is How Do Rumors Get Started? I think it's the history of Timex Social Club. You can get it on their website, but whatever was lost in this interview, it is written about in the brand new book. So it's almost like a blessing in a way. If you're curious, like, what were you guys talking about? Go read the book. And Marcus, before you slam your fist through a table, be like, Jim, what was going on? We have a good, I think, like, good 30 minutes of this interview was recorded. Here's what you missed. We talked about the history of Timex Social Club. I talked about my favorite quote of the book, and that is when the Raising Hell tour is going on. You guys all know the infamous Long Beach riot. And Marcus writes that he was backstage with Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, and Houdini. Vanessa Williams, for some reason, was backstage. LeVar Burton backstage. And the line of the book, and I don't have my notes right now, and that's just how this episode of the Brouhaha is going, but Marcus said something to the effect that, oh wait, here, I just found it. Vanessa Williams' fine ass helped pass the time and calm people down. It's my favorite line of the book. And you missed it. You missed us talking about that. And I actually have the correct title of the book here. Found my notes. How Do Rumors Get Started? The True Story of Timex Social Club, written by Marcus Thompson. So, let us join the action mid-interview. And when we were cut off and when the recorder came back on, we were talking about the Long Beach riot.
And when we stepped out of that stadium, Jim, it was like a bomb went off. I mean, we went outside, we got cleared to go. There was glass, broken glass and debris, and there was like clothes, some girls' clothes had come off, tops had come off or something. And I mean, it was not like it was when we were out there a few hours ago walking around the parking lot.
Now, do you remember what time that was?
Definitely gone down.
Do you remember what time that was when they actually let you leave the arena?
It probably was between 9 and 9:30, somewhere around that time.
Okay. And is a Beastie Boys podcast, what were the Beastie Boys doing during all of this?
We were all, okay, including the Beastie Boys, we were all happy that we were able to leave, but we were all just, you know, kind of shaken by what had happened. We had our promoter, JP, called those hot shows. Mm-hmm. We had had hot shows before. However, nothing really this bad had taken place at the shows where the show wasn't, you know, we couldn't continue the show. So all of the groups, including the Beastie Boys, we were kind of shaken up. We were like, oh my God, I hope nobody's hurt seriously. We were just kind of out of it for the rest of the night.
And then what was LeVar Burton doing? This is sort of a, you know what, your book opened my eyes to that. This is sort of an odd footnote in one of the most infamous riots in hip-hop history. The host of Reading Rainbow backstage, who knew?
Geordi from Star Trek. Yeah. You know, we were, even him and Vanessa Williams, we were all kind of, you know, quiet. At that point, what can I say? We were just kind of waiting it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There was nothing really exciting to tell you that he was doing or we were doing. We were just kind of just trying to get past that moment, that terrible moment.
Right. So, all right. So...
I don't have a bombshell memory of what Mr. Burton, was doing.
But he was there.
I think he was probably doing what we were doing.
All right.
That Vanessa Williams.
Right. But it's important. It's fact. It's hip-hop fact that he was there.
He was there.
All right, so let's talk about happier times.
Okay, all
Beastie
right.
Boys. Now,
yes,
a lot of people don't realize that you guys played a 10-minute set. The Beastie Boys played a 10-minute set. LL Cool J then went on for a half hour. Houdini played for 35 minutes. And Run DMC closed out the show, and I think they had an hour and 5 minute set. So the Beastie Boys were not the Beastie Boys at this point in time. So from what I've heard of the Beastie Boys from back in the mid-80s, a lot of people said they were brats. The Beastie Boys admitted that they were trying to do a spoof on frat boys, and they eventually turned into these frat boys. On the contrary, I hear a lot of people saying, you know what, the Beastie Boys are smart now, and they were smart back then. So what were the Beastie Boys like right before they blew up?
Oh, my God. Adam and Mike, wow, I have lots of memories of those guys. They were hilarious. They were pulling pranks. They were everywhere they shouldn't have been. they were all over the place, man. I mean, they didn't have five-hour energy back then, but I swear those guys were on something because they were bouncing off the wall. I mean, they were having so much fun. We thought we were having fun. They were having fun. I mean, here's a group, you know, of white rappers. Come on, you know, in 1986, they had nothing to lose. There was a few nights when they went out to crowd after us, and they got booze. They didn't care. did not care, man. They were having the time of their lives. You know, they didn't tell me that, but that's what I saw. What I saw.
In the book, the first time you meet them, they actually flooded your dressing room.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. They flooded our dressing room, and here's what happened. We went on before they did. There you go. it was like, no, they should open for us. But anyway, we went on before they did. So we were the first group out of the entire lineup to go on stage. So we were perfect. We were perfect victims to play pranks on because, you know, we were gone for 10 minutes. So this particular night, I guess they went into our dressing room, which was adjacent to theirs. Always. We had the room right by them, always, every stadium we went to. And when we got back off of stage, you know, we're walking down the hall, whatever, we opened our door, and, you know, there's like a half inch of water. We step into, and the whole dressing room floor is just covered with water. And we're like, oh, my God, what happened? We thought a pipe burst. And, you know, people are like, what? You know, because it's clear. You can't really see until you step in it. And we're all in there. We're trying to figure out what happened. And then we hear this laughter from next door. I mean, cackles, right?
Right.
And, you know, we're like, what are you guys laughing at, you know? And so I think it was Ad Rock. He came out and said, you know, welcome to the tour. So we, like, you know, we're like, did you guys do this? And they said, yeah, we did. And so we asked them how, and they told us they emptied our ice buckets out that, you know, the food was chilling in.
Right.
And the drinks were chilling in. And they emptied their ice buckets out, too, to help out. And everything melted. We had a wet floor. They put up towels against the bottom of the door so it wouldn't leak into their dressing room.
Brilliant.
So it was all in our dressing room. So it was like one of those pranks to welcome us to the tour.
Now, did you guys retaliate?
No, man, no, because look, I mean, we're so happy to be on the tour, and we know, you know, we're like, okay, now, if we start, the whole tour was managed by Rush, except us, so we're like, okay, we just gotta take this, man, we're lucky to be hired, and, you know, let's just roll with it, you know.
Now, do you remember what songs the Beastie Boys played?
Oh. I think, well, you know what? I think they didn't have a set list. I think they changed up a few times. But let's see. Hold It Now.
You know what? There are some people. There probably are some Beastie nerds out there who are like, oh, I know exactly what they played. I have all.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. It's probably somewhere on Beastie Mania.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's going to be there.
Because I have tapes. The thing is, I have like
the first album, of course.
Yeah, because I have tape. Like I have videotapes, VHS tapes of early Beastie Boys. I don't know what year, and they just usually do just a handful of songs. And I'm guessing that that might be part of the Raising Hell tour set.
Okay.
So I may be right. I may be wrong.
I know they did not do my favorite, which was Cookie Puss.
Wow. Yeah. I think they were over Cookie Puss at that point.
Yeah.
But that would have been nice.
See, that's funny because that was how I was introduced to the Beastie Boys.
Wow.
That was the first Beastie Boys. Yeah, that was the first Beastie Boys record I ever heard. A group member of mine, Alex Hill, had it, and he said, man, you got to come over Saturday. I got this record. It is funny as hell. You got to come on. I said, who is it by? He's like, the Beastie Boys. I'm like, fuck. Because that name in like 1985, 1986, you know, I'm like, are they demonic? Are they,
right.
You know, heavy metal? What are you, you know, you wouldn't think rap. You know, you wouldn't think rap with that name. So when he put that record on, I fell out laughing, man. It was the funniest.
I would love to hear Cookie Puss live, but I don't know how they would do it. Because most of it's just kind of like record scratching and prank phone call. But it'd be interesting. And then real quick, back to your set. What songs would you guys play?
Oh, well, see, we didn't have a set one either, so... there was time. Well, of course, we did Rumors. Insert laugh track. But we—that was the only single we had out. So we were trying out new material.
Okay.
That we had, our, you know, from our demo, and one of them was Thinking About You, that was recorded on the album.
Yeah.
Another one was Bring Tears, that was never released.
Nope.
And then later in the tour, we started doing Leave My Business Alone.
That, not on the album.
Unreleased, yeah.
Okay. Now, would you play Rumors first or save it for the last?
No. That's a showstopper, yeah. You got to save that one for last.
All right. Because it's the 10-minute set. Unheard of these. I wouldn't know how to manage that.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It's a sprint, though. You can use all your energy up because you don't have to play like an hour and a half. You're out there for 10 minutes.
Right. You just give them all you got. You hop around a lot and you say, party over here, party over there. You throw your hands up in the air, you know, everybody, and then you're done. Yeah, a lot of call and response.
On the Raising Hell tour, I guess I should know this, but I didn't do my homework tonight. Was License to Ill out at any point on that tour? You might not know that either. Because I think License to Ill came out in 86, and that's around the same time that all of this was happening.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'll take yes. I'll take Beastie Boy albums that were out in 1986, 4,000. I'm going to say yes. Yes, Jim.
Because how was the response to the Beastie Boys?
Like I said, you know, I mean, they had nothing to lose, so sometimes it was great, and then sometimes people were like, boo, bring on LL. I mean, they had a rough slot.
Yeah.
I'm saying, they went on after us, and they went on before LL, and, you know, if you're a teenage girl in 1986,
right,
you're there to see LL Cool J. Then you got to sit through, you know, the Beastie Boys at that time. And you're like, huh? 10 minutes, yes, but it's...
it's only 10 you know. Minutes. But this is...
Yeah, I know.
This is before... I'm assuming this is before Fight for Your Right to Party blew up.
Yeah, no, they were, you know, they were under the radar. They they had nothing to lose. I mean, this was a total win-win for them. They were on a major tour. They were getting exposure. They were in a slot before LL Cool J. They weren't opening the show. We were.
Yeah. See, this is because they did the Madonna tour, which they were hated on. They did the Raising Hell tour, which they were hated on, like you said, during some tour stops.
I'm not going to say they were hated.
Right,
they were
I mean...
Just, you know...
But there's
every
a lot of variety, you know.
Every other group was black, you know. So it's like, okay, and now the Beastie Boys. I'm like, huh?
But then shortly after, License to Ill blew up and they became...
Oh, yeah.
They became rap gods.
Right. First, you had Paul Revere and Brass Monkey.
Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Another part of the book... I enjoyed the whole book. I'm a fan of biographies and I'm a fan of music, so this is just perfect for me.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. You. Run DMC taking you out to McDonald's. not everyone can say that.
No, not and the way that happened was just totally spontaneous, unplanned and ridiculous. So yeah, you want me to go into a little bit of that? Or...
I'm curious. Run DMC treating the whole tour to McDonald's. Do you remember who was on the trip, what city it was in, and what you guys ate?
You know, I do not remember what city. As I told this to Beastie Mania. A few years ago, it was after a show, you know, and after a concert, you're so amped up, mm-hmm. you know, you just testosterone levels are at an all time high, and you're just you're gods, you're feeling like gods at that point. So we're in the back of the stadium, all the tour buses are parked, everybody's got a tour bus, and we're walking to our tour bus like we normally do, you know, and that particular night I heard someone say at the top of their lungs, you know, just screaming, "Let's ride on Timex's bus tonight." So I'm like, "Who the hell?" So I turned around and it just happened to be Run from Run DMC. And Hurricane is with him. Beastie Boys DJ.
Yep.
Also, Hollis Crew member. And Jam Master Jay. And, some other members of the Hollis Crew. So, who are we to say no? I mean, again, it's one of those moments where we gotta say yes. You know, it's cool.
Run DMC.
Not that we would have said no, but... And then it began, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed. You know, that was the first feeling that sunk in, because our bus wasn't up to par. we had a budget bus. Come on. We had a budget bus, man. But anyway, we got on the bus, and our bus driver pulled out, and we're all, you know, kind of in this convoy of buses leaving that stadium going to the next town. And so we're driving down the road laughing and cracking jokes and whatnot, and Jam Master Jay says, you know, "You guys hungry?" So you're like, yeah, we're hungry. So we told our bus driver to pull off at the next exit. He did. Now there's a tour bus in the McDonald's parking lot, which is kind of weird. I mean, you know.
Late at night,
so
too.
We hop off the bus, and Jam Master Jay is leading the way to the McDonald's. And... you know, there's some kids outside now, and, you know, they keep... See, this was funny. Nobody really knew Jam Master Jay's name that much, so they kept calling him Run DMC. Yeah. There's Run DMC. So that's all we were hearing as we were walking through this crowd of kids. And so we get to the McDonald's, and Jay... Man, rest in peace.
Yep.
Anyway, he's not one for waiting in line or doing anything that, you know... you should do. So he cut the line. He went right up to the counter and he started pulling out money and he started ordering. And it's like a whole McDonald's shut now and just waited on us. Nobody could get any food because, you know, here was Jay ordering 20 Big Macs and 25 cheeseburgers and 15 vanilla shakes and all of the food, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And so, you know, about 20 minutes later, the manager and a bunch of staff, they're bringing the food out to the bus for us. And Jay's paying this bill that's $200 plus.
Which,
and I'd never seen that.
Because I used to work at McDonald's, and people don't understand that if you had a bill of $50 or $60, you're ordering a ton of food. So if you take it back to the mid-80s, $200 plus, that's a lot. It's an army's worth of food.
We had boxes of food. We had too much food. I mean, he was basically asking us, you know, what do you want to eat? And if your order was too modest, he would double it.
Way before supersizing.
Yeah, this was before supersizing. So, you know, easily, man. Easily. We had too much food.
And I like, in your book, you had a hurricane's order. And do you remember hurricane? I just remember it was a lot of everything.
It was a lot of everything for everyone, you know? I mean, there's some language. But, you know, that's the other thing I want to say about the tour, you know, with the Beastie Boys and all the other groups. It was an all-male tour. There were no women on our tour.
No. Nope.
So we, come on, we were all, I don't say all of us, but, you know, maybe not the Beasties, but we were all riding high on the charts at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billboard charts. We could do no wrong. We felt invincible. It was a shot of adrenaline every day. And so, you walk into McDonald's and just take over the McDonald's. Why not?
So when you went into the McDonald's, were kids aware that Run DMC was there?
Yes. Like I said, they were calling Jam Master Jay alone. Just, you know, he's a DJ. He's not Run or DMC.
Was Run or DMC there?
Run was on the bus.
Okay, but Run didn't go into the McDonald's.
No, Run was a little bit busy at that time. I'm not going to give it all away.
You get the book.
Get the book, man. We'll save a little bit for the book.
Yeah.
But,
there's some exploits that happened on the Raising Hell tour.
There it is. But DMC did not ride with us that night. He was on the Run DMC bus himself, so he was not there.
Because I was a kid in the mid-80s, and I know that if I was in a McDonald's and Jam Master Jay walked in, I would have been floored.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, too, I'm like, they don't eat McDonald's. They eat, you know, Run DMC food, whatever they eat. Like, I would be stoked to see Jam Master Jay ordering Big Macs and strawberry milkshakes.
Yeah.
Couple more questions for you.
Uh-huh.
And usually, I don't go past 10 o'clock at night in my apartment, but because we had technical snafus today, we march on. And then you also have to eat, too, so I'll try to wrap this up.
Nah, whenever. You're more important, Jim. You're more important. Come on.
I'm excited to have you. Like I said, 7 months ago, I had no information. Now I'm talking to the founder of Timex Social Club.
Yes, sir.
After the Raising Hell tour, how closely did you follow the Beastie Boys?
Oh, my God. I not everything they did, but I followed all the groups. We were friends. Yeah.
Like, when did you ever bump into the Beastie Boys again after the Raising Hell tour?
I did not bump into the Beastie Boys again. I haven't physically, no.
But when they became
I've seen and been in contact with the other groups, but not those guys.
So when the Beastie Boys became socially aware, very politically minded, was that something that surprised you? Or was that something...
No,
you knew.
No. You know, in the early days, Adam Yauch was right there. You know, you could tell. You know, Mike D also. And I'll just say this, Adam H was the tough guy of the crew back then.
Still is.
I mean, you know, if you ask me, which one of the Beastie Boys would I want you know, to help me in a street fight. He had a match ready. Ad Rock is the man. Ad Rock is the man.
Do you listen to their new music?
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. One of my favorites is Check It Out.
Oh, well, that's awesome that you're up to the Five Boroughs. Have you listened to Hot Sauce Community Part 2 yet?
I have not, no. I understand that was released just recently.
Recently. And it's coincidentally, this has nothing to do with the Beastie Boys, but in your book, you have a chapter titled Searching for Hot Sauce.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with the Beastie Boys. It actually, Michael Bivins was looking for hot sauce.
Hilarious. I also have one called Say's Room.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. we'll leave that.
That was the funniest night on tour ever.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I don't want to. I'm going to leave that for the book. Because Say is a frequent guest on the Brouhaha.
I love Say. I've loved Say ever since I met Say. Say is my man. Say is my dog. I have him as a friend on Facebook. Say has always been the man. What do you mean? It was. I don't know, man.
It was.
I had to devote a chapter to Say. There it is.
There's a chapter about Say. And I believe his room is a hotel room. And then there is there you go. And like I said, Say is a frequent guest on the Brouhaha. And does he know he's in the book? Does he know he has a whole chapter?
I hit him up on Facebook and I told him that the book was out. And I think I did tell him he had a chapter in the book.
Yeah. So we're going to.
I think I did. Because we were talking about books. He's like, well, my book's out, The Definition. I got to get you a copy. And I'm like, I got to get you a copy. And so we, you know how that is. We haven't done it yet, but we're going to do it.
And he's going to hit you up with another email because he has another book coming out.
Oh, okay, cool.
Coffee table book of the, I believe, 25th anniversary of Def Jam.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So final question, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
And you've kind of talked about it throughout the interview, but how insane is it that you get out of high school and you go on a tour and years later you look back at that tour and you have three perennial hip hop Hall of Famers on that tour? I mean, people still talk about Houdini, but you've got on Mount Olympus in hip hop, you've got Run DMC, LL Cool J, and the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Who knew? Russell Simmons is a genius. what can I say, man? I'm very blessed and fortunate to be an alumni of that tour. It was an experience, that a lot of people would die for. We got to live it. And I, halfway through the tour, I decided to get a diary and chronicleize it because I kind of just knew this was incredible. It had to be documented. So that's what I did. A lot of the chapters and a lot of things that happened to us are straight from my tour diary of 1986. I actually wrote that stuff down that day as it happened. So that's why you see the date and the time.
Yeah.
A lot of those because I was writing it as it happened.
And
or hours later.
Totally appreciate this book because I mentioned the big names, Run DMC, LL Cool J, and the Beastie Boys. Still waiting for the official Beastie Boys autobiography or biography. That hasn't dropped yet. So we don't know a lot about the Raising Hell tour. I've read one Run DMC biography, not as thorough as I wanted it to be. Haven't read anything on LL Cool J. But I'm glad you were there because you actually captured the vibe and essence of that whole tour better than anything I've ever read.
Wow. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it like that. I wanted to do it raw. You know what I mean? I didn't want to do it too polished. I wanted to put the reader right there on the tour bus with us. I wanted to put the reader in the hotel with us, in the arena, in the dressing room. And I hope I've been able to do a little bit of that, if not all.
No, it's a perfect fly on the wall read. And because LL Cool J, Run DMC, and the Beastie Boys became so big, they may have forgotten about that tour, you know? Because they had other tours that happened after that, but because that was your sole tour, you guys remember so much, and it's so vivid when you read it. And the pages, and I don't believe we have said the entire title of the book yet. It's called "How Do Rumors Get Started: The True Story of Timex Social Club."
Yes, sir.
And I'm gonna buy the hard copy. Like, you sent me the digital one, but I'm gonna buy the hard copy, and I will read the whole thing. And you need to come back on the brouhaha, Marcus.
I will. Anytime you need me, you just holler. Now you know how to find me.
I know how to find you. You're a DJ right now, correct?
I am. I DJ basically private parties, corporate events. I do clubs. I'm all over the place. So yeah, I love what I do. I love music. So You can catch me. You can hire me. I'm all over the place, man. But yeah, I had to get that book out because it's a 25th anniversary, and like you said, a lot of people may not remember what happened. And it was just fun to go back.
Come back on the brouhaha. We need to have you on for an old school episode where we just talk about old school hip hop all episode long.
I definitely will. I also want to tell you that, here's another little tidbit, the Beastie Boys did not have a tour bus until like halfway through that tour.
Now, what were they riding on? What were they riding on?
They rode around in an RV. They had a driver. I'm not sure who the driver was, but they had a little RV. In my book, I tell about our van experience. that was funny, you know, just to see those guys just kind of, what are you doing, camping? What's going on?
See, and that's also why, too, because you've seen them grow up. You've seen them from the simple stages to now selling out arenas and stadiums.
Oh, yeah. And everybody loves them. I mean, come on. Eminem owes his career to the Beastie Boys. The list is long. They're pioneers. They're pioneers.
Marcus, everyone, from Timex Social Club, we are going to take a break on the brouhaha, and we will be back right after this.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
With the festive season upon us, Rockfar News is taking a look back at some of the highlights of 1987. This was the year when rap gained public appreciation and came out of the ghettos and into your homes. One rap group you probably wouldn't want in your home are the Beastie Boys. They toured Europe with Run DMC and caused Volkswagen owners everywhere to lock up not only their daughters, but their cars as well. When the Beasties hit London, we went down to check out what all the fuss was about.
Welcome back to the brouhaha, everybody. We are going to wrap up this episode. But before we do, I would like to thank Marcus Thompson for talking to us today. And once again, make sure you check out his brand new book, How Do Rumors Get Started? The True Story of Timex Social Club. Also, we are looking for contestants on 20 questions right here on the brouhaha. And the deal, once again, all you need to do, you answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly, you will win a homemade Beastie Boys diorama. And if you want to compete, please email me over at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. And on future episodes of the brouhaha, and I'm not just saying this, it's no lie, tentatively, we have some very important guests lined up. I mean, no, not the current Beastie Boys. We may have a former Beastie a former, I'm so excited I can't even speak. We may have a former Beastie Boy joining us, and some other people from the Beastie family. And then once again, I said this on a previous episode of the brouhaha, myself and Prof D working on a very top secret, very exciting Beastie Boys film/video project. So stay tuned for that. So until next time, my name is Jim Shear, and I will see Yins later.
That's it, that's all, that's all. song there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha. Cause it's a brouhaha.